Shalom and a warm welcome to the penultimate evening of the season of honor. Thank you so much for joining us as we gather around the light of God today. It's a wonderful evening and we encourage you right now to make use of the banking details that are displayed on your screen. Remember, this is the season of honor and we are sowing to establish connections to the blessing upon the great prophet of God. Pastor Kuramba, joined by Pastor Chikuni. In a few moments, we will have the great prophet. Man of God, the season of honor.
What a season we are in. Last night was something else. And we're here today and you can tell the environment is different. Mm. The atmosphere is different. And what an evening.
Yes.
What an evening.
Yes.
You look at what the voice taught on yesterday.
Mm.
And you begin to understand that we are not the same. We are different. There are those that God has ordained to retrieve things from the realm of the spirit, to hand over destinies to those that are where we may say we are.
To investigate the cause.
Exactly. And it's given unto fathers, eh? Mm. It's a wonderful season, but very scary season, given what our father has highlighted and what our father taught last night.
Mm.
There's a specific area that I got to a point where I became scared. Destinies are created by words.
Mm.
Not just words, but words in season.
Right.
Words in season.
Mm. And it's not just about the words, but who is behind
exactly
the words exactly that are spoken.
And why I highlighted in season is the fact that a door has been created today.
Yes.
In the season. And it would be unwise or sad for one to then look for that voice in the wrong season.
Mm.
It's a very sensitive time. It's a very, very sensitive time. You look at the example that he gave to us, for Samuel 15, and you look at the implications of doing something wrong.
Yes, yes, yes.
And one of the things that really scared me was the fact that you have a man who is willing to repent.
Mm.
But look at what happens thereafter.
Right.
You have a man who seems to have an understanding that we don't have. He goes to the prophet and he says, I have transgressed against the Lord and thy word. And thy word.
Right.
You know, the next verse from there scares me even worse. You look at the intensity with which he held on to the garment, to the mantle, the skirt of his garment, of his mantle. And you begin to understand and appreciate that this man, even though he had done wrong, he had an appreciation of who the prophet was and what he stood for.
Mm.
And up to the point that the mantle rent, the prophetic answer thereafter is another story. But the intensity with which he held on to that mantle, it tells you that this man had an understanding of who the prophet was. And him, as a king, appreciating and understanding that I reign. I'm in charge of all these people. But still, he goes to the prophet and he says, I need that honor. Not just something for me, but in front of all these people.
Right. Honor me now. Honor me now. What so honor, honor is bestowed upon an individual.
By whom? And when?
And this is why we're here. By who and when? Those two questions are being answered this very special evening as we gather around the voice of God. Be attentive to the word as it comes. Tonight is our night where an activation is going to take place and a connection is made to the blessing upon the great prophet. We implore you to pay maximum attention. And if you've used the banking details, remember, we've only got tomorrow left, so make maximum use of those details and the WhatsApp numbers. You'll be able to get assistance. But tonight is our evening. Allow us these very few moments to introduce our Father now. Greetings, our Father.
Wonderful evening.
We've been waiting for this evening.
Father, with bated breath. It's an awesome moment.
Indeed it is. Father, we understand that we have come to be honored in this place. Indeed. To have honored this stone. We thank you for creating this very sacred moment.
Yeah.
We ask that you take us there, Father.
Yeah.
And activate that blessing of multiplicity.
We are waiting. We are waiting. Oh.
A child of God should come to a point in his life where he or she is able to exercise spiritual authority over external forces. I would rather put it this way, overcoming external demons.
Wow.
That falls also under honor. It is important that we also congratulate our viewers who are here today. Thank you so much for being part of this spiritually arranged conference.
Mm.
We took it right from the mind of God. It was never our idea. We didn't feel like having a conference. But it was a direct order from the Lord. So that's what we are doing. Thank you for being here. And I believe God is going to bless you so much for making up time. Overcoming external forces or external demons. These are demons that are no longer operating from within you. You must understand that whenever you find a demon being cast out, being removed from either a person or from an object or from a place, the exorcism exercise doesn't end there. You must understand that a demon, once in existence, will always be in existence. So when you're delivering an individual, what you're doing is not killing the demon. You're simply removing the demon. It's a process of separation where now man is detached from a spirit that once controlled him. But that spirit remains still in existence. So there is a transference of that spirit to a different location. As intact as it was, as powerful as it was, and its willingness to still want to control remains with the demon. So we have moved it to a different place. Now that demon has become external, the man is now free from that demon. But there is now another place that is now occupied or possessed by that same spirit. So the overcoming aspect, this is the reason why I'm bringing it in at this point. Because honor now becomes the only authority that you have as a believer, that helps you reign over demons that have since left you, external forces. You see, because even as a Christian, imagine at some point you once had a demon within you, it's gone. But it is important that we investigate where they have gone. Otherwise, you might want to establish a business in that same area. We are yet to have such a syllabus in the kingdom of God, where preachers and teachers of the word starts dealing with that aspect of how do we make a follow-up Does it end at the point of deliverance in the church? Because demons that are leaving us during deliverance sessions, during church services, they are departing from us and then they go on to occupy space that would then later on attempt to visit. So imagine now you have a child of God who has been delivered from a demon, and the demon that once possessed him is now in possession of the market. At the end of the day, it will seem appear as though you are still possessed.
Yes, Father.
That's why
indeed, Father.
Millions of Christians today, they are still in search for deliverance after they have been delivered. Because they still can see manifestations, evidence, proof of demonic activities in their lives. But the deliverance has already occurred on their part. But then what then got possessed after their deliverance?
Right.
Is a territory where they are trying now to enter and reign. Now, how do you overcome external demons? If you are to get this now.
Thank you, Father.
You have arrived.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Because imagine you have a demon. Now when a demon is cast out of a person, Jesus said, it goes into dry places, trying to find rest. Okay? I've dealt with that before. But notice, the demon is no longer here. So the power given to the man of God to deliver an afflicted person, the captive, he has managed successfully to remove the demon from an individual. But the same man of God with the same anointing has to exercise the same anointing. Not in delivering the person, but in making sure that another place gets possessed. It is the work of the same anointing. You must understand that part.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to try. Try to understand that part. A man who God has given the power to deliver, that same power that delivers people makes other things to be possessed. Because you must remove a demon from one place, and a new location has to be identified. You remove a mountain from here, you have to put it into the sea. Okay. If you are a healer, God has given you the power to heal the sick. The day you heal the sick is the day you make something else sick.
Wow. Wow.
Because the disease must still remain in existence because it has already been created. Either by God or by us through the creative power of God that we got from Him. We have proved to have the power to create diseases.
Yes.
Yes. So, I'm saying the anointing that heals makes sick.
Wow.
The gift of healing the sick is the gift of making the well sick. Because the demon that you have removed from that person is still there.
In existence, yes.
In existence.
Yes.
Where? And from what point? Wasn't it the same time that you removed it from the person? And there was a place that never had problems with demons. Now that you're done delivering that individual, now the place gets possessed. So you are behind the possession of that particular place. You made that place to be possessed. Had you not removed the demon from that individual, it's the same power. So one person is free and so joyful, thankful to God for being set free because you have brought in the grace that has delivered him. But there is another place that is now in trouble because of the same man of God who carries the same anointing. Okay?
Yes, Father.
Now, just like a rich man or a blessed man, that man once had a curse. And something was done to him to remove the curse. But that curse is still in existence. He has to pile up on another individual. The day you lose your curse is the day someone gets it. You must understand these are very, very vital principles in the spirit. Because the thing is in existence. I told you about Naaman's leprosy.
Yes, Father.
Though he was healed, still somebody had to have it. Are you following this?
Yes, Father.
Okay. Now, the issue now is, now that I'm free, but I still have the demon that was once mine still occupying a particular space. So what if I'm going to try and establish my supermarket in that place? If a demon that has left me has gone and it has occupied a mountain, and I'm likely going to have a business that is running on top of a mountain. If the demon has gone into a dry place, isn't this the reason why? You have the Holy Spirit leading Jesus into the wilderness, not to be tempted by the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit did was to lead him. It wasn't him who tempted Jesus. No. He led Jesus into the wilderness so that in the wilderness he would be tempted by the devil. Why would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into a place that was dry? And then in a place that is dry, he gets tempted. But that's not where we meet with most of the temptations. He should have been led to a pub. What is there in such a dry place that the devil makes use of, that the devil uses in trying to tempt you? What is there? Because we thought there is nothing desirable. Because you must be tempted according to your lust, according to your appetites. Then taking a man into such a place that is so dry, and then you try to tempt him. Is there something in the wilderness, in a dry place that we are not seeing? Hence we call it dry.
Help us, Father, help us.
Wow. In the wilderness, let's agree, maybe just for argument's sake, let's say there's nothing. The place is dry, hot. And Jesus is taken there by the Spirit of God, and the devil is there tempting him. There must be something happening in the wilderness that we are not all aware of. If there is nothing, Jesus is supposed to be tempted at the level of nothing.
Understood.
Okay. Well. Okay. There is still a temptation where you're supposed to be tempted with nothing. Because we think there is nothing there that a man can ever be tempted with. But the fact that there is nothing in a place that can be your temptation, where you are led into places where there is nothing, not having enough, becomes the temptation. How do you behave in a state of nothing? $0. He will take him to the city in some few minutes from now, where he is now in a place of wealth in Jerusalem. So he's tempted at the lowest level, being poor, having nothing, and then you have to be taken to the highest level, the city level, where you have everything. Temptations must hit you at those two different altitudes, in the valley and on top of the mountain, and you have to come victorious in both locations. Most people, they can go for 100 years still being tempted at the valley level, wilderness level, not having enough level. But if you have overcome that, the next level has to be the city level. Your life doesn't end there in the wilderness. You must have a way of overcoming not having enough when your behavior and your character is checked. How have you responded to little? A wilderness experience. Now, get this. The devil is aware.
Wow, Father.
That that dry place is dry in as far as water is concerned, in as far as money is concerned, but in as far as the presence of demons is concerned, there is an activity there. That's why in another passage of scripture, the Bible says Jesus was there with the wild animals. They were wild beasts. He was there. Now, then the devil comes to him and then he says to him, turn this stone into bread if you are the Son of God. So the first thing that was now being tried by the devil, he is trying to make him doubt his credibility. He wants him to lose his identity. That was the first question that the devil raised. Are you really aware of your identity? If, he's not saying you are the Son of God, if indeed you are the Son of God, he wants you, that's the first temptation. The devil wants you to doubt your identity in God. If he can get you question that, then he has you. If you are the Son of God, turn this, not stones, stone. Now there is a message on that.
Yes, Father. Yes.
Into bread. So had Jesus turned the stone into bread, would that then have been an evil thing? What's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? He's not saying turn it into a cigarette. He's not saying turn it into a bottle of beer. It is bread, which is legal, which is lawful for men to consume. But he's saying command the stone to turn into bread if you are the Son of God. Had Jesus done so, what was wrong with that? Why would that have been a failure on his part? How would that have been a failure and yet he would have performed successfully the miracle? Where a miracle is done and the stone that was once a stone is now bread and Jesus is eating. It is still a failure. It is still a failure and yet the miracle is performed. Okay. How is that possible that you can still perform a miracle? It is still performed. As proof that God is involved in the act. How can then God participate in the sin? If it was a sin, if it was a failure, God still participated. The sin aspect would have come in this area. Had he turned the stone, the devil himself knew that Jesus was able to do that. But all that the devil wanted was to make Jesus do it.
You wanted to be the one.
So had Jesus commanded the stone to be turned into bread, he would have done so at the command of the devil. So it's not just the stone that is under the Jesus' command. It is Jesus who is under the devil's command. When you are performing miracles under the instruction of the devil, using the power of God.
Father, this is a deep equation.
You can find yourself doing things contrary to your destiny, contrary to your mandate, contrary to your assignment. That's not your career. But you are under a whispering that you are not even aware of. When the devil commands you to command. Now a miracle is performed and the stone is no longer a stone. It is now turned into bread. You are rejoicing over a career that you thought you have personally founded, and yet there was an idea that was emitted from a region beyond your understanding. It was the devil who pushed you into that territory. But are you not making money? You are making money. Is the stone still a stone? Not anymore. It's now bread. But the originator of that occurrence, that, you see, that's how the devil operates. So imagine the first miracle that Jesus was going to perform in his lifetime was according to the devil's prescription, not his father sending him to do it. So Jesus looks inside of himself and he sees, I have the ability to do that. But who is the influence? Who is the external force? Who is leading me to do that? Now I'm showing you how to have power over external demons, but tomorrow we have to deal with how to acquire the honor. Because if you exercise power and authority over external demons by honor, then we have to get to how do I attain it?
Yes, I will have to address that.
Today I'm just showing you what then gets respected in the market. It is honor. When you have honor, hear me, you don't, let me put it this way. Some people say, what if the person is not honorable? Why should I honor a person who is not honorable? You don't honor people because they are honorable. You honor people because you are an honorable person.
Wow.
You don't honor people because they are honorable. You honor people because you are an honorable person. That is your nature. When people despise you, they are not despising you because of who you are. They are despising you because of who they are. Stop having problems with people. When they undermine you, it's an expression of their level in life.
Ish.
People, I repeat, they will not despise you according to where you are placed. They will despise you according to where they are placed. They undermine you because they are undermined. If you find people trying to pull you down, that goes to show their location, that it is below you.
Yay!
They can't pull you down if they are above you. They can only pull you up if they are above you. Get to understand this. So when people look at you, they are looking at you at their standpoint. They've been afflicted. They've been lowered to a lower. They are in a lower reach. So the way people treat you, they don't treat you according to who you are. They treat you according to who they are. So you honor not because people are honorable. You honor because you are an honorable individual. Honor is your nature. Now, especially if you have gotten the honor from the Lord. There is honor from people, which is nothing. And there is honor which is from God, which is everything. Now, I want that honor to rest upon me so that when I then get to a place which is now under the influence of a demon which I was once under, I still can find myself freely doing the things that I want to do unhindered.
Yes, Father.
That's the kind of life that I want.
Yes, Father. Yes, Father.
To think that the demon that once left you, Pastor, is still in this country. What is going to happen when you get there and you finally meet again? Do you know that having a friend who is demon possessed, it means that you still have a demon? Because if you have a friend who has a demon, it's not just a friend that you have. You have what he has.
Yeah. Help us, Father. Help us. Help us.
So the devil is so cunning. You know, the heat on you was turned on by the Holy Spirit to a point where it was no longer possible for a demon to remain in you. But what the demon did was to go. It left and entered into someone that you love, a friend. Now, when a demon is in someone that you love, whether it's your husband or it is your wife, you are free from a demon, but you are not yet free until you have power over a demon that is external. Because what the demon used to do whilst it was in you can still do whilst it is inside of someone that you still have. If you have a friend and your friend has a demon, you still have what your friend has. It is still your demon. It was stressing you where you would get into certain levels of depression alone, being tortured by an internal demon. Once that demon leaves you, you are free. But it can get into a friend who calls you every time, who comes to your house, and he transfers the same amount of depression. You are now sick because of what you keep on hearing from people close to you. You are not yet free. Just because the demon has left you, you are free. Only when you've managed to make a follow-up and still exercise power over demons that once left you. Now, you must get this part. You must get this part. What if the demon that left you then entered into your boss? Because you must remember, as much as you are so jovial, happy that the demon is gone, take note of the direction of that demon. Because if the devil wanted you to suffer, he would do that internally. Make you suffer where poverty is cooked from within. Now, after deliverance, because the power of God now to deliver people is available. Now, people are set free. But those demons that ensures that you suffer, then go on to possess somebody who is responsible for your promotion. Now your boss has received the demon that has left you. He is now under a command to command you to be turned into something else. So he sees you so hardworking, and he wonders, this guy is so punctual. He's here on time every time. Dedication, the quality of your work, he observes that. But for him to write a letter, for him to elevate you. So you see now, you now have a demon that is no longer within you. It has entered your region of expertise. And people in that territory are still under the control of the demon that once controlled you. You are not yet free. Brothers and sisters, you are not yet free. The only power is honor. I'll get to that.
Yes. Help us, Father.
What is it with my seniors? What is it with my superiors? What is it with my boss? Why is it that my efforts are not recognizable? They have demons. Demons that you no longer have. You were happy the day that you were set free. You were so much happy. You didn't realize what else God possessed the same day. What do I do now that I know? I've been told. I've been enlightened. Now I know the demon that left me 20 years ago is still in existence. Who has it now? Listen to the way they talk to you. You can now identify where it is gone. It's easy to find out the location, the current location of the demons. The demon that was once in you, if it is gone, how do you know? I'm free now. How do I know where my demon has gone? I look at the direction of the pigs, how they are behaving.
Right.
Why is there so much panic around you? Why is it that people around you are not steady? Why are they not taking it easy with you? A new behavior, all of a sudden, pigs are rushing into the water. And the pigs are dead. Are demons dead?
No.
How do I know now the direction of the demons? I look at the citizens. How the people of the city came against Jesus. So demons are always moving. From this place, it gets into another thing. So you know, you look at the behavior.
Yes, Father.
Behavioral changes.
Yes, Father.
So you know, it was once here, now it is over there, now it is over there. The way people look at you, What they are saying against you, it is the same demon that has left you.
Mm.
That is not happy with your success.
Mm.
Now, I will have to say things. Maybe today or tomorrow.
Today.
But I will still have to say things.
Today.
Like I'm saying already. You can't kill a demon. You can't kill a demon. Such anointing is yet to be released. It's not available. Fast for it, you're wasting your time. You don't kill a demon. You can't.
Wow. Wow.
It is allowed by God to exist. But now that you're free, you must be able to prophetically locate where it has gone.
Thank you, Father.
Help us, Father. Help us.
Is your wife not in trouble today because of a demon that left you? Because it has to get into someone or something that the devil knows that in the future you will still be together with that individual. So your union with the demon is permanently established. Either you have the demon internally or you have it externally, but within someone or somewhere, something that is close to you. What if demons are able to occupy a career? And all of you in your family, you are teachers, you are police officers. Do you realize what was spoken over that enterprise by whoever? Who influenced all of you to be doing the same thing? Who influenced you? Now, you must understand, when a Christian is now a Christian, he's no longer under a demonic possession. No longer possessed by a demon. So you are free from demonic possession. But not yet free from demonic influence. A demonic influence is when the influence is not yours. You are being influenced by the influencer. It is not your idea. It is something else's idea. And when you think about what you're thinking, you think it is you thinking about it. These are external demons making suggestions. You are receiving whisperings from a dark world. It's not dark because there are no candles there. It's dark because it's a land of secrets. You are not aware of where those ideas are coming from. It's a business venture. An idea that has just hit you and you feel like, oh, I got it from the Lord. You must follow the footsteps of an idea. Okay? Until at the beginning of it, you must find God.
Right.
Because demons are also responsible for most of the business ideas. So when it is an influence, it's not internal, it is external. When you're being influenced by a demon, it's a friend that calls you and he tells you there is an opportunity. And don't investigate that idea as far as your friend. Go even deeper into him. Is it the God in the man advising him to advise you? Or it is the demon in the man advising the man to influence you? So when influence is coming, it's unlike possession. Possession, a demon is within you, and it is laying a hold of your steering, the part that controls you. You are being driven by the demon. But when you are being influenced, it is an idea. These are choices, instructions. And these instructions are being emitted from an entity that you are not sometimes aware of. And they are coming to you in a telepathic way. You are being hit by thoughts, even stress that you there is no reason.
Right, Miss Father.
There is a mother in the village who has bigger problems than the ones you have, but she is not as stressed as you are. You must get that part.
Yes, Father. Yes.
Why is it there are millions of people who are below you in terms of lifestyle, but not as depressed as you are?
Preach it, Father. Help us. Help us, Father.
You know, if you are not smart, if you don't understand the devil, if he wants you to be depressed, he doesn't start by making sure that you have problems. He can package stress. It will come as a complete package without even you having problems. You can still be stressed. You have to. So, the only way when you're dealing with demonic influence, you deal with them at the point of honor. You must become an honorable person. Where do I find that? Because somebody is just waiting. When are we going? Where is it in the Bible? We're quoting scriptures from the beginning. He wakes up from his sleep. He looks at the wind. He commands it. And they begin to wonder, what manner of a man is this? That even the wind, they say the winds and the sea obeys him. The obeying there,
yes, Father,
connotes an idea of honor. We have witnessed a man being honored even by the winds, controlling external spirits. We have never known the wind to be something that humans can control. We've never seen it that way. If a tornado is coming, all you do is to make sure that you clear the city. Get out of its way. Because it has been given a mandate by God to control humans. But what manner of a human being is this one that even the wind obeys him? It's an external spirit. But this man seemed to have power over external spirits, forces outside of himself. What manner of a man is this that even the wind obeys him? You have, as a child of God, to get to that point where you control forces around you.
Yes, Father. Yes, Father.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my. Pastors, you know, I like simplifying things sometimes. The worry is, sometimes I end up complicating them. But it's unfortunate. I give people straightforward illustrations, things that they see happening every single day.
Yes, Father.
Yes, Father. If you don't have power over demons that are external, how are you even going to be able to deliver another person?
Right.
Yeah.
It's fine.
If the power that you have over demons is only limited to you, to yourself, how are you going to help a friend who has a demon? If the power is not supposed to go beyond your physical borders. Do you know that if you look at myself now, I am a region, I am a territory that I've conquered. This flesh, this dust is a piece of earth. This is my conquest. I have overcome. I have taken over this piece of dust. And as a spirit, I oversee over this territory, making sure that there is no any other strange spirit that interferes with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So, if I'm ever going to help you get rid of your own demon, there must be a union, an agreement, where I hold your hand and somehow I, for a moment, seem to own your territory so that I extend my border. If you are not careful, you will end up owning certain individuals. People might want to argue with that and say it's a wrong doctrine, but companies are owning their workers. You must be raising sensible questions. Why is it that after I got my deliverance from a spirit that was believed to be a spirit of poverty, why then am I still poor? Why is it that Christians still don't have things that God has given to them already? Why is it that we still don't have the things that God has already freely given to us? The giving part was done. The receiving part is yet to take place. Why is it that we still don't own, we don't have what was given? God goes through our prayer points and he wonders, seeing a list of items that he has already made available. Those things are still being asked for. Why is it that after your deliverance and there was a screaming and there was a shouting, demons confessing that we were responsible for him not having money. Now the demon is gone. Where is the money? Where then is the money? People like us, we start investigating those matters. Was the deliverance fake? Was the son involved in the deliverance? Because if he was there,
We are supposed to be free indeed if He sets us free. Free indeed.
Yes, Father.
You can't tell me that I had a spirit of barrenness and it's gone and I'm still barren. What is that?
There's no deliverance there.
There's no deliverance. But is it true that there is no deliverance? You might have been delivered from the spirit of barrenness. And now you are ready to conceive. But then the demon went on to occupy the man who is responsible for impregnating you.
So somehow you're still.
That's why I'm saying now. It doesn't end here where you get delivered. You must be able to follow through. Where has that demon gone to? You are free, but isn't your career that is supposed to make you flourish now possessed with the same demon that once possessed you? The day you became free, something else got possessed. What was that something? Isn't that your territory again?
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
You can only make a follow-up riding on a chariot of honor.
Thank you, Father.
That's the only way.
Thank you, Father.
Tomorrow I'll tell you.
Today,
tomorrow
Father.
I'll tell you.
Today, Father.
Please, Father. You know, when we have conferences, we must have it for 1 month, you know. I see people. I watch people on tapes undergoing deliverance. And it is confirmed within me that that man, that woman is now free. The demon is gone. But 5-6 years down the line, there is no proof that the deliverance was genuine. I'm still seeing signs. There is still proof. There is still evidence of the existence of a demon.
A question has just rushed to us now. The responsibility to enact that deliverance of the surrounding environment, is it a shared responsibility between the deliverer and the individual being delivered? Or at the highest level of deliverance, the deliverer occupies the individual, takes control of the individual's space again?
You must have asked that question the day you got delivered by a man of God. You were happy that you lost a demon. But he should have replaced that demon with honor. Because you must understand, when a man is delivering you, he is not giving you. He is taking away from you.
Right.
Though technically, it is freedom that you will get.
Mm-hmm.
But notice, he is removing. He leaves you empty. So if you are thanking him for delivering you from a demon, always be reminded that you are thanking him not for giving you a spirit, but for removing a spirit.
Yes, Father.
So something was supposed to be done. Something else was supposed to be given to replace that space that was once occupied by the demon. This is why, after you are delivered, the man of God must be equipped enough to transfer into you something that you never had.
Thank you.
Being free from a demon in itself, that is not enough. Can the man of God equip you with honor? Can he equip you with knowledge? Can he equip you with light? Is his honor transferable? Can you also have what he has? So that the demon that has left you will not keep on thinking about the man of God that has cast it out. Because it will continue fearing the man of God. Not you.
Okay.
Ah, please. Please. Please hear this.
Yes, Father.
If I find a demon in you and I cast it out, that demon will always remember, because I have hit it so hard to a point where it now has my fingerprint. So I'm responsible. Wherever that demon goes, it will always remember me, not you. It will always be afraid of me,
right,
and not you.
Yes, Father.
So I arrived at you and the demon departed. If I make a fall up again and I arrive wherever that demon is, it will also again depart, because it is me that it knows. Until I transfer into you the same terror. Ah. So that after you are delivered and the demon goes on to occupy your career, and then you make a follow-up, you enter into that career, the terror has arrived. You go on to deliver the career. You are setting free the career.
Yes.
Your presence in that marketplace, in that area of expertise, your presence will make demons to depart.
Mm.
How do I deal with external demons? How honorable are you? Can the wind obey you? Can the sea obey you? We have this authority in us that we just don't have to abuse it. We must know how to use it. We use it with respect and with honor. I've told you before, if I want to cast a demon out of a person, I can choose whichever way. There is a better way of doing it. And there's a bad way of doing it.
Okay.
Most people that have received deliverances from demons of poverty are still poor today. The reason is if you look at the way that they got delivered, I want to say something here, but I'm thinking, should I? And do we have people here today who can understand? Let me try.
Try as well.
I will say it maybe indirectly, but directly. When Jesus commanded the demon to come out of the man who was a lunatic, he fell to the ground and he foamed and he went quiet, as though he was dead. And the people said, he's dead. What makes people seem to be dead or appear like they're dead after they just got their deliverance? How is it a man who, when he still had the demon, he could walk, talk, laugh, eat? And after the demon is gone, it's like he's dead. Some of you people don't realize you enjoy delivering people from demons, but you don't realize the process that the person who is possessed, the captive, undergoes during the session of deliverance.
Help us, Father, help us.
You can read it if you found it.
Thank you, Father. The book of Mark, chapter 9, from verse 16. And he asked the disciples, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which have a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not."
You know why they could not? He's saying, "I have brought my son to you."
Yes, Father.
That's what he said. "I have brought my son to you." But when he arrived, Jesus wasn't present. He was at the Mount of Transfiguration. So he had brought his situation to Jesus, not to his disciples, assuming that he would have found Jesus in them. But because they were yet to be born again, that's the reason they failed. Because this kind of deliverance doesn't happen in the Old Testament.
Wow. Wow.
Because people are bringing problems to us, not to us. but to him, because he is in us. So they failed to deliver this young boy, because he had brought his young boy to Jesus, and Jesus wasn't present. He was in the mountain. So, until Jesus comes, you must understand the difference now. In this era, they don't have to wait for him to come from heaven to deliver their sons. If they are to bring their situations to Jesus, they have to come to us.
Yes, Father. Thank you, Father.
Okay?
Thank you, Father.
Now. And they failed to deliver the young man until Jesus comes physically.
He answered him and saith, O faithless generation.
Yes, he's not insulting them. He's telling them that you are a generation without faith. You are yet to enter into becoming, you are yet to enter into the generation of faith. Yes, there is that generation of faith. That's where we are in right now.
Wow.
We are that tribe of faith that you can't even measure. Faith that you can't even quantify.
Wow.
That's where we belong.
Mm.
So he's telling them, you are yet to be initiated into the generation of faith. Yes.
How long shall I be with you?
I've been with you for too long. How long shall I be with you? Yes.
How long shall I suffer you?
Shall I allow you? Yes.
Bring him unto me.
Bring him unto me.
And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him.
I don't know who saw who. I don't know. When he saw him.
Him.
Right. Who saw who? But we don't see Jesus manifesting. He is so calm. The effects of that interface. There is a visible manifestation. And the spirit began to tore the man. This is the process of deliverance. Inasmuch as it was Jesus himself setting that man free, he is undergoing a very painful experience of being torn apart by a demon. The pain that people go through when being set free. I'm answering the question why people seem to be torn apart even after their deliverance. And can you imagine? Can you imagine? You have been asking this question ever since you got your deliverance. Why is it that my life seemed to be even worse? The scripture. It's not because your man of God was less anointed. If that's the case, yes, Jesus. The originator of the anointing. Still the man is being torn right in his presence. That moment of being torn, it's part of deliverance. Where you get into a phase, unlike phases you have had, even whilst you still had the demon with you. We've underestimated the intensity of the backlash, how demons will try
so hard to regain their territory. When a spirit tries to hold on, when it tries to remain in a person and there is power that is pulling it apart, that will create problems for you. This is why deliverance must be for only for the qualified. Don't enjoy moving around trying to cast out demons. You have to be qualified. And the qualification is more than that of even a physician, a doctor. It's much more critical. Much more care is needed. You don't need 7 years training. You need 7 experiences. So, Jesus is delivering this young man, yes?
Straightway, the spirit came, and he fell on the ground and wallowed.
Where did he go?
The ground.
Ground.
Was he lifted up?
Oh, fine.
He wasn't elevated during the deliverance. He was brought down. His life went down.
Down.
And he wallowed, yes?
Foaming.
And he's foaming.
And he asked his father.
Now he left him in that state. He begins to talk to the father. Jesus, who knows everything, is asking questions now. Yes?
How long is it ago since this came upon him?
Yes.
And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire.
You see now, a spirit of deaf and dumb doesn't make people manifest like that. It's a lunatic spirit. It would cast him into the fire.
Yes. And into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us.
So the spirit is attempting to destroy him. Many people are like that. Spirits within them are trying to destroy them. But if you can do anything, please help me. Help me, please.
Yes. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe,
you have to believe,
all things are possible
yes.
to him that believeth.
Okay.
And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears,
my God,
Lord, I believe.
No.
Help thou mine unbelief.
Oh.
When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit.
When Jesus saw that people came running, while they were still coming, why didn't he wait for them to arrive so that they would see this marvel? It's for another day again. It's amazing.
You would have thought you would have waited.
You should have waited.
Right.
Let them come and then they will see.
They'll see.
But he said they have to do it quickly before they arrive.
Right.
Okay. It's for another day. Remember.
We'll remember, Father.
Remind
Father,
me.
Please.
Yes.
Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him. And enter no more into him.
It's a spirit that cannot hear, but he's telling it what to do. Knowing he's being heard. Come out of him. That's authority, right?
Yes, Father.
That's honor. Yes?
And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead.
He was as one dead.
Dead.
Yeah.
In so much that many
people,
said.
People said, many said.
He is dead.
He's dead. He said he's dead. Jesus has killed a man. This pastor has killed this man. So what the people are saying is now blaming. You must understand. You are worse off. That's what some of you are being told.
Right. Okay.
The people are now saying he's dead. You were better before. This man prayed for you. Now you're dead.
So what you are underestimating is what happens to you during the process of deliverance. Demons are present in your life today to see to it that you suffer. But there is also the suffering that you experience during the deliverance from a suffering demon or a demon of suffering. To think that a demon present causes you to suffer and a departing demon also causes you to suffer. People who are poor today because of a migrating spirit, they are poor because of the departure of a spirit.
Strong Father.
He has brought the man down to the ground. He's foaming. He's being torn apart. It's like he's dead now. That movement of a demon from you can introduce you into a wilderness season where there is completely nothing in your house. And you're wondering, why now? After I'm born again and after I got my deliverance.
This is reality, Father. So practical, Father.
You'd wish you had still remained with your demon, because now that you are on the ground, it's like you are dead. People are saying, you're gone, you're finished. They never said that before. So the pain, the revenge, that's what you're experiencing today. The pain of losing a spirit that you had from childhood. When that spirit is departing, when that spirit is leaving you, it's so torturous, so painful, it's unbearable. You are being tempted, you are in the wilderness where there is nothing, and your behavior, your character is being checked. Let's see how he's going to behave. So, you must now understand, when you are relaxed sitting at home, and then your wife comes descending on you like a rainy cloud, very thunderous. Whose demon is that? Oh, she's under attack because you were set free. She's behaving like that because you were set free. I'll try to touch on this tomorrow. I'll teach you on how to acquire the honor and then say statements that are supposed to be said over you. A man who has been a womanizer . He loved women like, to him it was like oxygen. Without women, he was convinced that I'm dead. To him, it was no woman, no life. How God worked on his case through the man of God who was praying for him, teaching him, educating him, and warning him against such practices. Then he got his deliverance, he's free, the demon is out. Now he can allow a woman to pass by for the first time. The demon is gone. But now the current location of the demon, if the devil is smart. He doesn't allow that demon to go too far from the man. The wife has to inherit. Now you now have a demon that was once in the man, causing him to like women. Now the demon gets into the wife. And it does completely the opposite. She becomes so hard for the man to get. She's not accessible. So he has gone into his most dry season. He's being tempted in the desert. A land of nothing. Whilst the man is there, he's being tempted. He's being advised by the devil to turn stones into bread, prostitutes into wives. Deal with what you have. Turn your secretary into your wife. It's a trying moment. She's no longer there for the man. But this is happening after his deliverance. For the woman to say, now that I'm left alone with this man, you would need 20 women a month. Every single day. Now I'm the only one available. How do I compensate that? She goes into a completely different mode. She becomes as expensive, even as a diamond. The man has to mine her out. What is happening? It is not her demon. If you are to divorce her and let another man marry the same, she will not behave like that. You must be able to locate, find out where your demon has gone. The demon that wants you to suffer is the same demon advising people not to bless you. The demon that wants you to suffer is the same advising your boss not to promote you. So these are things that I want people to understand. The only way you can be liberated from this, you need honor. The man who has delivered you, he's not done until he comes back and he talks about honor.
Yes, Father.
There's something that I have that you still don't have. I've commanded your demon to leave you. But we need to ensure that you receive something within you. What attracts that something? Because there is a spiritual principle. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, he's separating the two, power and the Holy Ghost, as if the Holy Ghost is not power. You shall receive power after that the Spirit has come upon you.
Yes, Father.
So what comes first?
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. The Spirit.
Yes.
And he's saying, and then you shall receive power. So we are searching for power today instead of the Spirit. And he's saying, the power will be attracted to the Spirit. The receiving of power comes after you have received the Spirit. When the Spirit has come, you shall receive power after. Why is the power coming after the receiving of the Spirit? It's because even if the power comes today, you have nothing within you that can accommodate that power. It is received by the Spirit. It is received by the Spirit. This is why I go on for some time preparing people. We are making sure there's the presence of the Spirit within you before the power arrives.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
You shall receive. Your ability to receive is determined by the Spirit. You must have the Spirit. So the power is never given to you, it is given to the Spirit. What is given to you is the Spirit. So there is an allocation of power that has to accompany the portion of the Spirit that you have received. When you have received that power, that is honor.
Oh,
that is honor.
Yes.
I will deal with your case. Tomorrow is not too far.
It's far, tomorrow is too far, brother.
Remember, it's not tomorrow evening. It's tomorrow morning. So very soon we are here, and I want you to see that the process is almost through now.
Thank you, Father. Thank
you. You've seen a lot. You have suffered a lot, and you are now getting to the end of your temptation. You will have to be transferred to the city of Jerusalem.
Okay.
No more wilderness temptations.
Right.
Tested, you have been tested with nothing. Now you have to be tested with much.
Thank you, Father.
Let's see how he does it without money. They've seen you, still faithful. Now here comes another last temptation. Let him have enough. Money is coming. And we'll have to tempt him at that point. And I prefer that kind of temptation. It's better. It's much better. How do you deal with external forces, external demons, and external problems? The problems that you think today you have, most of them, you don't have them. Problems are with people that you have. Problems are with places that you have. The problem is with the business. It's not your problem. Your business is possessed. How do you set it free so that it can bring you the yield that you desire? That's the key. And I'm dealing with that matter. So you make sure you have your friend. Tomorrow it will not just be preaching. I will say things and declare. And mighty move of God is going to occur. Deliverance, unlike we have seen before.
You will
see. We are bringing you to the completion of your deliverance. So tomorrow you make sure that you are glued.
Thank you, Father.
And things that you see happening in your house, make sure that you take videos and you send us.
Thank you, Father.
So that other people can see how power can be transmitted live and miracles can be performed. You will not remain the same after hearing what needs to be said tomorrow. Notice you have been brought to where you are today by somebody else who spoke. But behold, here is somebody who is greater than your grandfather. Jesus himself is here. Let's watch what he's going to say. And let's watch what is going to happen after. You may have fallen to the ground. You may have formed. You may have been torn apart. But here comes a season when they say he's gone, he's dead, he's buried. When the people begin to say, like in your case, they've already said that you are gone, you're finished. What comes after that? Jesus then stretched forth his hand. That's what is happening. An extension of his body. When he touched the man, that man became a member of his body. He took over that territory physically, and the demon departed. When I connect with you, Pastor, and then I touch your finger touches me, we become one body. So my authority is transferred. You watch that happening. You will watch that happening. My honor has to become your honor. My success has to become your success. My anointing has to... My grace, Paul said, you are partakers of my grace.
Yes, sir.
So the same testimonies, I'm going to declare this tomorrow, that miracles that God has performed in my life, you will have all of them. Whenever God remembers me, the day that he remembers me, he will also remember you on that particular day. I hope you're believing what I'm saying.
We are believing.
Because if you believe, all things are possible.
Yes,
I have taken much of your time tonight, and we need to let the people go. Thank you so much. Make sure that you're here tomorrow and make use of the banking details on your screen. Commit yourself. Commit yourself. Just send your seed of honor and watch as God honors you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you. Thank you.
Now we see the light.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
The details are on the screen. Please make exceptional use of them. If you need assistance, please use the WhatsApp numbers provided. Let's prepare for tomorrow. Shalom.